ברוך אתה, אדוני אלוהינו מלך העולם שהכל נהיה בדברו.
אמן.
Okay, thank you to Akiva and to anybody else who was involved in this. One of you were more involved. I appreciate it. Very kind. Okay, I might decide to sit. We'll see how it goes. So I asked Akiva to tell me what to speak about. I don't know you. I don't know like where you're at. I don't know what you're interested in. So I got a terrible response. I don't know who gave that response, but don't give that response again. Don't do that. You gave a response, whoever it was. I just got a hunch who it might have been. You want to hear about Mussar, which is fabulous, which is great. But I don't know what you want to hear. So I'm going to speak about something generic. And if it resonates with you, we hit the jackpot. And if it doesn't, the next time you'll give me a clearer topic. That's just a favor I would appreciate. Okay, great. So there's a pasuk I'll speak about. The other night when I spoke here, there was I told my guys last night, there was something that was bothering me, and I'll tell you what it was. It took me a few hours to figure out, but I was speaking to lights. It was very bright from my vantage point, and so I didn't see anybody in the crowd. And when I'm not speaking to anybody, it's impossible for me to speak, because I communicate with eyes. I communicate with reactions, and if I don't see energy, I'm wiped. I can't say anything. So as I speak, if you want to say something, you're also communicating with your eyes. I hear that. I do hear that very strongly in both directions. And if you don't appreciate it, you do appreciate it. I'm listening. I'm trying to be attentive. So I'll speak about a pasuk, and I'm speaking to the topic that you suggested, which was Mussar, which I understood was you wanted to hear Mussar. So I'm just speaking about that topic in general, Mussar. I just need to keep doing this so I don't lose it entirely. But forgive me. So there's a pasuk this week. Unbelievable pasuk. Incredible pasuk. And it says, Umaltem is orlos levavchem. You have to cut off the cover of your hearts. V'arpechem lo tikshu od. And your stiff-necked character, you should change it. You should try to fix that. So the smak is one of the sefer mitzvos. He counts to the 613 mitzvos. So he describes a little bit, he gives a little bit of an understanding of what this mitzvah is. And he says the following. I'm not going to read too much, just a little bit in the beginning. He says, this commandment, he counts this as one of the 613. You have a commandment, lehov es atochachos. You have to love Mussar. He says, this is a positive commandment, to love Mussar. Velehov mishi yochichenu, and to appreciate the person who gives Mussar. And there's two sides to the coin. There's a positive and there's a negative commandment. So the positive is you have to appreciate and be interested in hearing Mussar. And the negative is the end of the pasuk, lo tikshu od. You shouldn't be a stiff-necked people. So I think normally when you hear this pasuk and pasukim like this, I think normal people, our response or our understanding is that it's like a fluffy kind of pasuk. It's a kind of metaphor. It tells you have to be open-minded to hearing things from other people, open-minded to criticism, and you shouldn't be stiff-necked. Stiff-necked is a very hard descriptive. It's a hard metaphor to exactly pin down. What does that mean to be stiff-necked? So I'll try to describe it. I'll try to explain it as best as I can. And if somebody wants to add, change, detract, I don't mind. So the way I look at it is like this. When you look, I made this up. If this is wrong, you could correct me. But when you have a stiff, we've woken up with stiff necks. We know what this is like. It's physically unpleasant. But besides the physical unpleasantness, when you wake up and you have a stiff neck, what happens? And just my understanding is that you're limited in your peripheral vision. Your scope becomes limited. So you could only look in whatever direction it is, but you could only look forward. And it gives you, I made this up, these numbers, but I think they're relatively accurate. Your scope of vision, let's call it, you have a 150 degrees. You could see, to this angle. You know, your peripherals allow you so far. When you don't have a stiff neck, what changes is that you can look in all directions, and I kind of tested it a little bit ago, and I think you get 360. I think you get a full 360. I was surprised by that. I didn't expect that. I was expecting more 320, But I'm pretty sure I got 360. And that's a major difference, not just in the numbers of it, but in the in what you see, what's in front of you. And we're not talking about vision, obviously. We're not talking about what you see. We're talking about something a lot deeper than that. But what you see, in the mashal at least, it differentiates between 150 degrees and 360 degrees, which is a game changer. I don't know what they say at the DMV in terms of how much your visual sphere needs to be to qualify for a license or not. But my best guess is that it's 150. I don't know if you're going to pass that test. I'm not sure if you're going to qualify for a license. Somebody worked at the DMV? Okay. We'll use that information until somebody corrects me. So when you have a stiff neck, your vision is extremely limited. And you only notice things that are blatant and things that are directly in front of you. This is connected to a couple things I spoke to the guys about, and kind of overlapping conversations that I'm having right now in the kollel. But to me, it's very connected to this. So I'll give examples of issues that I find to... We need a lot of mussar with these issues. And like I said, I know boys much better than I know girls. And boys need a lot of mussar on these issues. And I imagine people have enough overlap that we could use it too. It's not exclusive to boys. And I spoke about gzela. I spoke about theft, robbery. Now that sounds like something that we shouldn't be accused of. Something that we don't have a tendency to robbery. That's not true. It's just not true. And robbery includes, and I got a lot of pushback on this, robbery includes that if I have a charger. So I have my phone charger in that outlet over there, and I don't know, your bed is over there, or it's more convenient for you to use that outlet, so you just, all good intentions, you just move the outlet to the other side of the room. You move the charger to the other outlet on the other side of the room. So in halacha, that's called gzela. Now, you could get pushback on this, because that's very extreme. Why would gzela? You didn't take it, nobody's stealing it. It was inconvenient, so you picked it up and you moved it. But people's property, ownership is extremely valuable to God. God takes ownership very seriously. Ownership means that God, he entitled somebody to have a certain possession, and that possession is exclusively that person's. So when we play games with ownership, we're reaching into realms that are not our own. And this is a small example. There are so many small examples of well-intentioned, non-malicious types of gzela that most of it we probably don't know. Most of it we're probably not aware of. And a lot of it we're just subconscious. We're not even thinking. So to move a charger or to, you know, somebody's socks are on your bed, so you pick up the socks and you move them. And that's even, you say, a violation of your own space, because nobody's socks are supposed to be on your bed. And you want to lay down. And who puts socks on your bed? So you just pick up the socks and you throw it across the room. So I'm not defining halachically gzela, but it's certainly within the fringes of gzela. Because somebody's possessions to God is one of the most valuable commodities. It's one of our most valuable principles. That's one example. I'm going to speak about the general concept in a much broader term. And another example is something that I think is more common that we do think about in the realm of Mussar, which is Shmiras HaLashon. Just be careful what we say, to whom we say, and how we say. And this is something we're extremely good at until a very common breaking point. And I'll share with you, if it's true among the girls, I'd love to hear. I know it's true for the boys in a very significant way. If you ever open up a sefer called Shmiras HaLashon, I think you'll notice it's very enjoyable to read. Shmiras HaLashon. He talks and it's Mussar, and Mussar is great. I think Mussar is uplifting. If it's not uplifting, you chose the wrong book. You got to find a new book. But if you ever open the other book, on the other side of the book, it's called Chafetz Chaim. That's very boring. That's, I hold, top 10 most boring books. If you tried it and you succeeded, you're doing a great job. But you might have encountered the fact that the laws of Shmiras HaLashon, sometimes the laws, it's not the Mussar, it's the laws, very boring. Very boring. There's like seven conditions, and in each condition you have to know all the details. And I think most people, my estimate, I shared earlier to some people, my estimate is out of 10,000 Jews who open up Chavetz Chaim, my estimate is 1 out of 10,000 finish. That's my estimate. I don't think I'm wrong. I think I've seen enough people learn Chavetz Chaim. The laws, again, not the Musa, the laws of Lashon Hara. Oh, it gets too boring. It gets too tedious. And then you get into other areas, and let's talk about Shabbos. You get into areas of Shabbos. And I think a lot of us are familiar, at least, you know, in seminaries, I do think they do a much better job than yeshivas. They teach you Hilchos Shabbos. In yeshivas, we don't teach enough of important things. So you learn Hilchos Shabbos, but even within what you learned, and there might be tests and pressure, and I don't know what seminaries you come from or how much pressure there is in these seminaries, but to a degree, there's something you need to know, and then going above and beyond what you probably are not required to know. So whatever it might be, if certain malachos are in the curriculum or out of the curriculum, if parts of malachos are in the curriculum or out of the curriculum, I think these are normal. And that's the beginning of the conversation. But you wanted to talk about Musar, so I'll teach you about Musar a little bit. I don't know where this goes. This could be... I'm comfortable taking a risk. It's worth a risk. I got a text this morning from a person who runs a seminary, and she asked me if I know a guy. This is a great story, I'm going to tell you. And so, yeah, I know the guy. And she asked me that she understands that there might be a hashkafic divide between this guy and a girl that he's dating, a student of hers. So she asked me to speak about this guy, to tell her about this guy, and to try to give her some clarity, some understanding of where he stands in his hanhaga and hashkafa. I don't know exactly what hanhaga means. Translate the word, but I don't know what hanaga means. I also don't know what hashkafa means. I still struggle to understand that word, but I know what she meant. So she wanted to know if hashkafically and in his hanhagas, if it's a good match for this girl. And I would play you the voice note that I responded to her, but I did say his name a couple times. But I'm going to tell you, I think in better words than what I actually expressed to her. I expressed the following. Talk about a 21-year-old boy, 21, 22-year-old boy. And the claim was that it could be her hashkafas are more religious than his. More, I don't know what these words mean. More to the right, more religious than his. And I told this wonderful teacher in the seminary, I think she runs the seminary, she for sure teaches there. I told her if her hashkafas are more to the right of this guy, then she's off. Then she's wrong. Her hashkafas are wrong. I say that with confidence. I don't say this about every guy. About this guy, if your hashkafas are not like his, you got it wrong. And why am I so confident to say that? I'll tell you why. Because this is a boy that I categorize within the category that we speak of, but I don't know if we understand the terms properly. This is a grown boy. Grown boy means the following. It means when he learns something in Hilchos Shabbos, he keeps it. When he learns something in Hilchos Lashon Hara, he keeps it. When he learns something in Hilchos Gzeila, he keeps it. But he doesn't stop there. He wants to learn more in Hilchos Lashon Hara, and he pushes himself to learn more about Hilchos Shabbos, and he pushes himself to learn more in Gzeila, and obviously in every other realm as well. So where is he getting his hashkafa from? From the right places. He's learning, and he's curious to keep learning, and he's passionate to incorporate his learning into his life, into his behaviors. So how are you going to tell me that there's some girl out there, some wonderful, well-meaning girl, who has hashkafas that are more religious than his? What's more religious than this guy? Is the most sincere, genuine, authentic approach to getting close to God, and he's doing it in the most open-minded, curious, interested way, that not only what he learns, he incorporates into his life, but he's continuing to seek out more to continue to incorporate into his life. And I told her, he's 21, he's 22. You think he has the full hashkafic clarity? No. But this girl, I'll guarantee she doesn't either. I don't think she's 35. I don't know how old she is. I hope she's not 35. So she probably, to some degree, has a similar amount of background and history and experience as this guy. So this guy, for a 21, 22-year-old, he's hitting every spot. He's got it down. So if she's doing what he's doing, that means that together, I can't imagine the disparity is too wide. Together, they'll figure out absolute clarity as they go through life in their hashkafic values, in their principles, and what they believe in. But if she has this pre-established, if she has it already down pat when she's 21, I'll vouch with absolute confidence she's wrong. You can't be right when you're 21 and you've learned for a couple of years. Even a person, you know, you went on, what's the NCSY Kollel equivalent? I mean, you went on Mechlele, so you're like a big tzaddikus maybe. You know, you don't go on Amcha girls, you're not going on Sulam. You go on Mechlele, you're a very holy, holy person. And I don't know, in 8th grade, I don't know if they have programs like that also, but since, I don't know, 2nd grade, you've been like doing amazing things and learning and growing and all that kind of stuff. But how old were you 2nd grade? 7? And what are you now? 19, 20? I don't know. So a couple of years. That's a couple of years. That's incredible. But that can't be the entire spectrum. So what does it demand to be a person who's interested and genuinely pursuing a relationship with God? Absolute open-mindedness. Absolute. Absolute open-mindedness and humility. I really get upset when I have my guys, you know, 20-year-old guys, they have shitas. Like opinions. Strong opinions. I know myself. I'll say shmooze today, and tomorrow I'm going to say shmooze the exact opposite. My opinions change every day. I learn something new. I'm open-minded. I'm interested to listen. I'm interested to hear. I'm interested to discover. And I got this from just being a part of good, great groups, wonderful groups of Jews. When you connect yourself to wonderful, wonderful elements of Jews, so you start to grow. And what does that mean to grow? Interested, curious, open-minded. That when you got to that part of Chavetz Chaim, that was the worst boring. I've been there. The worst boring. So you say, okay, it's tough, but I'm trying to grow out here. And I'm trying to learn more. And I want to change. I want to develop. My interest is not to be the same opinions I was yesterday. My interest is not to be the same attitudes I was yesterday. My interest is that whatever hashkafa I solidified within myself yesterday, I want to change. I'm pursuing change. I'm not just open-minded, but I'm running after change. And I told you, my mind, these are overlapping talks. So, at least in my mind, I'm talking to multiple crowds here, but I shared with one of the crowds that I spoke to that I like a lot. I really like a lot. It does a lot for me. When I meet people in their teens or in their 20s, and then I meet them 10 years later or 20 years later, and they not just look physically, not an appearance, not just an appearance, look differently. I'm not talking aging. Aging is not what I'm getting at. But when people, you see clearly, they found a new path. Some people, you look different. It's different clothes. It's different, you know, for guys, it's like beards. It's a different kind of hair coming out of places. It's certain looks men could have. And that's appearances. I'm not talking about appearances. But when you get to know the person, you say, that's not the same guy I knew 10 years ago. And a lot of times, that takes a lot of courage to be able to shift, to move. Because when you were 20, you locked in absolute, conclusive, definitive clarity with this is the hashkafa and everybody else is wrong. And you know, you really, you preached your gospel loud and everybody knows the pedestal, the platform that you stand on. And then life teaches you, when you open a few good books, maybe you were wrong. Maybe you got it wrong. Because there's a lot to learn. There's so much to learn, so much to be exposed to. So a couple of years of learning, and maybe didn't do the full job. And maybe more years of learning, it's going to do a more complete job. I haven't yet said what I want to say. We'll start now. And like I said, if you have questions, please, I'm inviting. So there used to be an attitude in the world, in my generation for sure, and I would imagine probably in yours. I would guess. I never thought about this till today. Till you asked me to speak, I really never put thought into this. But today, you forced me to put thought into this, and I gained from this talk a lot. And I'll tell you what I gained, what I'm about to say. So there's an attitude, a prevalent attitude in the world, even, you know, post-feminism, post-liberal, that girls, they should be primarily focused on chesed, on, you know, helping people, that kind of stuff, and boys are primarily focused on learning. Okay, that attitude is for sure 100 years ago. I think it's also true 30, 40, 50 years ago. And my guess is it certainly has truth today. You're not going to find too many yeshivas investing in chesed type programs. And I would imagine, I would guess, you have a lot of seminaries who put more investment into that, put more focus into that. And I put thought into this today, and I asked myself, are we doing it right? Is this right? Is this right? When I do chesed, I grow. When boys do chesed, we grow. I imagine the same by you. When you do chesed, you also grow. But I can't grow if I'm not learning. Because you're capping yourself. Because let's go back to where we started. When I told you the charger, you move it from that outlet to that outlet. So that's gzeila. God doesn't like that. God's not into that. He's not into moving chargers. He doesn't like that. You think that's a bad midah. It's a bad character trait to move somebody else's charger from there to there. So you might say, oh, I didn't know that. That's great to know. That's interesting to hear. So you learn new things every day. And if you don't learn these new things, so you cap your growth. That means, on a very basic, clear level, that when you cap your learning, you've capped to a large degree your growth. Now, so it used to be 100 years ago, 500 years ago, so women spent a lot of time in the home building things in the home. That's not true anymore. It's just not true. You have a ton of time on your hands. You have just as much time on your hands as the guys. And I'm not a liberal person. I'm not going to say, you know, whatever we do in yeshivas, you should do in seminaries. I don't even think about these things. It doesn't interest me, these things. But what does interest me is doing things right. And you have growth-oriented girls who want to hear Musar. That's the message I've got. I don't know who volunteered that information, but growth-oriented girls that want to hear Musar. There is no Musar that's valuable. Zero. Nobody could give you Musar unless you're learning. Unless you're learning new things. Musar means encouraging people to take on the things that they're learning, to incorporate their learning into their lives. So we could talk fluff all day. You know, I was very excited to come and say fluff, and that's what people, it's a terrible assumption, awful. So that's what people assume. You go speak to girls, you speak about tefillah or midos. And if you're a woman, you can speak about a third topic, which men shouldn't talk about. But that's it, three topics, that's it. Women just need to hear about tefillah, midos, and a third topic. That's awful. It's belittling, it's demeaning, it's a lie. It's a lie. You should hear about Shabbos, and you should be interested in Shabbos, and you should study Shabbos, and then somebody shows up and he says, rah-rah, Shabbos. You know, rah-rah, and then, oh, okay, let's do it. Sometimes it's difficult, sometimes it's challenging, sometimes it's demanding, and I have a lot of resistance. We all have a lot of resistance. If you don't have resistance, you're a malach. You're a malach. But we have a lot of resistance, and to keep the laws of Lashon Hara that you learned, there's tremendous natural resistance. To keep the laws of Gzela, I told you the charger, but like you really need it, you know what I'm saying? And like you'll tell them later, and nobody needs to know, and you'll put it back, and you have all the justifications. You need a lot of rah-rah musr to like get you to put that into practice. But nobody's going to help anybody if you're not learning. So, you want to hear musr? I'll tell you musr. You should be learning. I have a dream. We have a kol on this side. There should be a kol on that side. Why are the girls different than the boys? I watch these commercials. The girls could play soccer just like boys could play soccer. I don't know if that's true. You might debate that. But at least in terms of how we spend our days, if you're growth-oriented, we chase God, you chase God. I don't have... My children are not here. They're not in camp with me. So I'm a bacher. As a bacher, I got a lot of time to spend chasing God. I imagine you also want to chase God. So let's do it. Let's chase God. And the fact that I have this prior, I changed today. I really you changed me. I give you a lot of credit. I don't know how this happened, but you changed me today. Until today, my attitude is, girls, you give them musar, you share with them midos, you talk to them about tefillah. I'm not doing that anymore. I'm not. I refuse to do that anymore. We're gonna learn. We're gonna grow. You want musar? Let's learn Hilchos Lashon Hara. Let's start learning programs. Let's teach people. And then a little musr, all you need is a little musr, boom, put it into practice, boom, life gets fun. You know, it doesn't just become an intellectual, you know, I know in seminaries some are rigid with tests and all that kind of stuff, and it makes you feel not the way Torah is always supposed to make you feel. So you get a speaker to come in, somebody to yell at you a little bit, and then it's like, oh, it's not a test, it's not intellectual, it's not academic, it's something real, we're really chasing God, we're doing something of value over here, but you have to put that into practice. That changed me in a very, very powerful way. Okay, that's the bulk of what I want to say. I think I expressed my point. I have just one, because he asked me to speak on Mussar, so I'll tell you one Mussar thought. But any questions on this first topic? But this first topic is a big demand. And I want to tell you what I'm demanding. I'm demanding something. I spoke at a seminary a couple years ago. I was never invited again. I'll tell you what I did. And they were right not to invite me again. I went in there, and they asked me to speak about some kind of Mussar topic. Waste of my time. Why? Because it was a waste of their time. Waste of these girls' time. These girls are very intellectual. I'm going to come in there. The topic they gave me, I didn't like. I didn't think it was relevant. It was a waste of everybody's time. So I said, if I'm going in anyway, let me not waste my time. So at the end, the last 5 minutes, I said the following. I said, I was in a mood. There was stuff going on. And I said the following. I said, I asked, there was the women in charge of the school. I asked them, if you could leave the room, because I'm going to do something very uncomfortable right now for you. And you choose to leave, choose to stay at your own risk. And of course, they stayed. And I did the following. I said to 100 girls over there, when I go to a restaurant, I pay the waiter, the waitress, I give them a tip. And I was taught to try to be gracious to those who serve us, and I try to give them 20%. I think 20% is it's very nice, but it's good to be nice. I hold also, I don't do it yet, I'm hypocritical, but I have a dream. I hold also as a chiyuv to tip stewardesses on planes, chiyuv, absolute chiyuv. They work so hard, and they really help us a lot. And if you once you're there, a chiyuv of all chiyuvim to tip nurses. Nurses, I don't know what they make, I don't care what they make. If a nurse is taking care of your family member, you put money under the table, on the table, all over the table. You put as much money as you could afford. Nurses, it's just gratitude. How do you show gratitude? Thank you does nothing. Thank you is not gratitude. Cash is gratitude. This is my hashkafa. I believe in it strongly. Thank you, meaningless. Nobody wants to thank you. A nurse heard plenty of thank yous. You want to thank a nurse? Cash in hand. You want Venmo her? That works too. Whatever you choose. So I said to these girls, I said, your seminary teachers, they work so hard. They could have been physicists. They could have been doctors. They could have been lawyers. They chose to take a meager salary in order to change your lives. They compromised their lives so that your lives will be benefited. How do you not appreciate that? So I said to them, this is when I might have pushed too far. I said, tuition, I understood, was 25 grand. So 20% is a lot, but let's talk 10%. Each girl here should give $2,500 to the teacher's fund. You got 10 years to pay it off. Not your parents' money. I don't want your parents' money. I want your money. Show gratitude to your teachers. So I said, I want 2 volunteers from the girls. Raise your hand. You're going to commit to the next 10 years collecting. We had 100 girls. $250,000 distributed to the teachers. You scale it. You determine who gets how much. 2 girls raise their hand. I got them. We were ready to go. We were cooking. And I said, great to meet you. Have a great day. I didn't waste my time. You didn't waste your time. The whole talk was of value, and I left. I got back to yeshiva that day, and the guys in my shir, they get these recordings very fast. And they said to me, I couldn't believe what happened at the end. And I said, yeah, I was in a mood. I was just in a mood. So I gambled. I rolled the dice. And they said, yeah, but what happened afterwards was more crazy. I said, what happened? I didn't know what happened. So somebody got up after I left, and they announced, that was very nice. Very nice. The thought was very nice. But if you're going to collect $250,000, you should give it to the seminary, not to the teachers. They killed me. They killed me. You can't do that to me. The teachers need money. So I failed. I failed a couple years ago. I was never invited back. With good reason. For good reason. Because if I went back, I'm going 500. I'm going for the gold. But here, we have a great, great group. Looks like an amazing group. And I'm tasking you. I'm putting it on the table. I'm putting something on the table. You want to take it? I encourage you to take it. You want to leave it? Somebody else is going to take it. I don't know, a year or two. It's not going to be more than two. In a year or maybe two, there's a full-time kollel on the other side of camp. Full-time. Who's running it? One of you. You're going to commit now? In your mind, you will. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. But in your mind, you will. Why? Because somebody's going to do it. Somebody's going to do it. It's going to happen. In a year or two. And not small, big, powerful. You know, we have a big problem, me and Akiva, we're talking about, that we want to do a major boys' tish Friday night. This Friday night, so last Shabbos. Major, major boys' tish with all the older divisions. Major. You have a problem. It's not, how do you do that to the 14, 13-year-old girls? It's not nice. I know the guys want to hang out with the girls. I don't know if the girls want to hang out with the guys, but I'm assuming a little bit, I don't know. Or they're being nice, they're being very nice to them. And so we have a problem. We have a logistical problem. How can we? It's not nice. So we want to make a tish for 200 guys, but there's 200 girls, 200 camper girls, alufim, manigim, whatever they call, alufot, manigot. They also need a tish. Where's that tish? Where's that tish? So the attitude is no. Girls don't learn. Girls are they're put into the kitchen. I say that to insult you. My intent is to insult you. You should be insulted. Girls go to the kitchen. Girls set the tables. Girls put out the forks and knives. Your low-level humanity. Take it as an insult. Hopefully it'll drive you. Your low-level humanity. You're not worthy. You're not deserving of what the boys are deserving. Is this for real? This is serious? Is it serious that this is happening right now? The boys pursue God? You pursue God. We pursue God by growing? You pursue God by growing. How do you grow? You got to learn. And then also a little Musa. Little Musa always. You got to learn. You have to know Hilchos Shabbos. The boys you're marrying don't know Hilchos Shabbos. They go to beautiful yeshivas that do terrible things. They don't learn any of this stuff. You need to know Hilchos Shabbos. You need to know Hilchos Brachos. Who's taking care of your kids? Who's teaching this stuff to your kids? So you learned a lot in seminary. It doesn't end there. You know, when you get married and you have responsibilities, so it's much harder. No pressure. Then you could smoke a cigar, lean back on your couch and enjoy life. But until that point, you have time on your hands. And time is the greatest commodity. And use your time to grow. And what does it mean to grow? To pursue more knowledge. What does it mean to pursue more knowledge? Not to be satisfied with the knowledge that you've gained in seminaries. And wherever you are, whatever surroundings, whatever circumstances you find yourselves in, you should always say to yourself, okay, a little bit more, a little bit more. And that's how you change. We're trying to change. We're not interested in being the same people. We're interested that every week it should be noticeable. And for sure every month and certainly every year, noticeable that we've become different people because we've learned new things and incorporated. And it's not just, you know, halachas, but it's concepts and ideas and hashkafas and musar and all these things. And it's a process. And if you pursue that process, you might marry this guy that I was describing. Unless if this girl is not intelligent enough and she drops him, you might end up marrying this guy, this unbelievable, incredible guy who has all the hashkafas right. Because what's the only hashkafa? There's one hashkafa. This is why forgive me for even going on a tangent on this topic, but all this talk about hashkafa that wastes all people's times, it's all a lie. It's a scam. The whole thing's a lie. There's one hashkafa. The one hashkafa is learn more and incorporate it into your life. That's the only hashkafa. The rest is scams. It's people trying to create teams, and those teams have no value. Teams never have value. Okay, I put it on the table. I think we're pretty much done. I apologize that I ranted. We'll take a question if you have. But I'm putting it on the table in a year. I really would love in a year. I would love in a year that we're going to have a tish for 200 guys on Friday night, and you're going to have a tish for 200 girls on Friday night. And then 300... and then 400, and the whole place is going to be what it should be, what it wants to be. You know, the girls want this. You know the girls want this probably more than the boys want it. But nobody's offering it to them. Why is it nobody offering it to them? Because you belong in the kitchen. You forgot. You all belong in the kitchen. You're second level humans. I don't know what seminaries you went to, but I hope this is not the propaganda that they gave you. You should be proud and excited to live life and to change things. To change all the status quos. Don't accept any status quos. If it's a status quo, it means it's waiting to be changed. And you should take that and do what you can. Do what you can. Any questions just to clarify anything I said, if it didn't resonate or maybe struck you the wrong way. Yeah.
Do you think it's realistic to continue this type of learning we have now, like, once you're married?
Wait, no, so when you're married, life is different. And I bless all of you. You have a bracha. You should get married as soon as you want to. As soon as you want to. As soon as you're ready to. As soon as you want to. You shouldn't have to wait. It should go smooth and quick and clear. Amen. Amen. All the amens. I'm not talking about that. You'll cross that bridge when you get there. When you get there, please God, it might be, I don't know where you're holding, might be a month, might be a week, might be a year. Everybody's holding in different places. But you'll cross that bridge when you get there. When you get there, thank God, you'll talk to your husband, they'll work things out, you'll cross that bridge. But until you cross that bridge, we're here. And if we're here, let's make the most of it. Is that fair?
Yeah.
Okay. And thank you for choosing the topic.
How do you know?
Because when you don't make eye contact, you give yourself away. Just good to know. Good to know. Yeah, but I appreciate it. I appreciate the attempt. Yeah.
You mentioned that, like, boys, like, they don't, like, know how to go Shabbos. And, like, you said, like, you wish it wasn't that way. And, like, it's not good.
Whose is this? I'll answer this question, but I can't answer it on the recording.
Like,